Welcome to the Minivate Gang Podcast, episode 306. I'm Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Tim Elliott.
I'm here, down in Arkansas.
Really? Graham Thickens.
Hey, that sounds like surf music, and I'm not even in California.
And Phil Wilson.
Hello.
Good morning. Good morning.
I'm in Lakeville. What are you doing in Arkansas, Tim?
Yeah.
It's spring break, so we drove, you know, down here yesterday. Only 13 and a half hours.
So
nice.
Friends, relatives, resort. What's the scoop?
Yeah, no, my in-laws live in Hot Springs Village, so we're down in Hot Springs, Arkansas.
Very nice. That doesn't suck.
And we will go to the springs at some point.
Good.
And what will you do there?
We'll sit in the hot waters of the springs.
Oh. There you go.
It's good. It's like a spa, kind of little spa town.
You know, what is that? What is that lake like? There's a great big gigantic lake near Hot Springs.
Ozark or is
no,
that?
No, it's, I can't remember it now. Lake.
Tim,
lake
Tim, you're supposed to jump in here.
Ouchie or something like that.
Ouchie, yeah.
No.
I don't know which one you're talking about.
See, this is one of our examples of an incredible grasp of geography here.
Yeah. All right. I'm now looking at the map, and I see Hot Springs Village, and I see Hot Springs, the town, and then there's like a park, and there's a huge area, Lake Ouachita.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's where they have the they have these World War II. What do they call those? The ducks? You know, they're like trucks.
Have those at the Dells too.
Yeah, they have trucks that go in the water. I've been there once or twice. But there's plenty of lakes here in this village. It's a huge gated community, and there's, I don't know, three or four lakes that have been built into this thing.
And you are going to stop by the William Jefferson Clinton library, or I don't even know where that is.
That's in Little Rock, so we might. Actually.
You're not that far away.
I've never been to that library, so I may take a pilgrimage out there to take a look.
Well, Graham kneels and bows toward Little Rock, don't you, Graham?
On a regular basis. Especially when it comes to erasing emails. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Sing, bow.
Yeah.
Ouch. Well, ouch. Isn't that Clinton Library called the William Clinton Library and Strip Joint or something?
Yeah.
Good night, everybody.
The blue dresses there. And all right, let's get into Recapville.
What I think we want to pass on our version of Rick Steves traveling. What is it?
Exactly. Yeah. All right.
So
you
recap,
you went to DevFest, right? The Google DevFest. Well,
it was a busy week. I think I felt like I organized all of them, but Google DevFest. We started our podcast from there last week, so was a good day. It was very, very dev focused, and I think a good time was had by all. It was the first time I've really kind of been in my role as a sort of chief recruiter there at for BuzzFeed. So that was kind of an interesting viewpoint from that perspective. But great event. I applaud everyone that put it together, because it is nice to be at a straight up all dev all the time event. So.
Well, and because Google wants the web to go faster, if you go to devfest.mn, you will see the lowest resolution header photos of I've ever seen in my life.
Now stop.
Oh my God. They probably load very fast, but man.
I guess there's no web designers on that team, but anyway.
Well, it's probably a tip of the hat to aliasing, JPEG aliasing. So I don't know. No, but it sounds like it was a great event. I mean, wearables and Android and Chrome and all that. Yeah.
Yep, it was. Huh. And then let's see. I wanted to make sure that I said thanks to everybody that came out, especially you guys for coming out to the BuzzFeed grand opening. Hoo-ha. What do we call it? We call it Booze Bites Besties.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, it was.
I had a lot of fun. Thank you very much.
A lot of fun at that.
It was. Well, it was funny, too, when the mayor... she read through her top 13 list.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it's great to have BuzzFeed in Minneapolis. Yeah, it was great.
It was fun. Yeah.
I don't follow exactly, intently what the mayor does, what kind of mayor she is, since she's not my mayor. But at the same time, I asked her if she'd be willing to move down to New York, or to Lakeville, and be a mayor for us, because she was great. She was great.
Yeah. And what was her response? What are you, nuts?
No. Well, what did you think her response would be as mayor of Minneapolis?
She would say something like, you know, Lakeville is a fine community, but I'm already the mayor of Minneapolis.
Oh, she would say, we'll move to Minneapolis. You see, you got to be expanding, building that tax base, you guys.
Yeah. So. Well, I actually met a couple of guys that are involved in the mayor's office, one with economic development and the other with, just sort of business development or.
You met Miles Mercer then.
There you go.
Yeah, Miles is the one that reached out when we put together the deal with BuzzFeed and HyperIQ, and he was just great and so accommodating and
very good guys.
What was really nice about this was the city is just, you know, they are very happy that when people choose their city over, say, the Valley or Seattle or, you know, wherever, some of the other larger companies go to supposedly look for talent. It was a great time, and we had a lot of folks there. Some actually played beer pong. Was good.
I saw that. There were a couple of young ladies playing beer pong, and then I saw them about, I don't know, 20, 25 minutes later. They looked a lot happier. They were laughing, and obviously they were consuming many beers.
Yeah. So. And then after that, on Thursday, we had Mobile March.
Yes.
I wanted to thank everybody to come out to Mobile March.
Yeah, that was a great event. By the way, my son stole my T-shirt.
Already?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that was quick.
I know. Yeah, he goes, that's awesome. That's great. And I go, yeah. And I folded it up and put it on a table in my bedroom. And
it was gone.
And it was gone. And then a little bit later, I saw him wearing it. And of course, without any deodorant, he gets to keep it now.
We had a great set of keynotes. We did three keynotes this year, which is the first time we've done that. We had a keynote from Billy Jerwicks from Space 150 in the morning.
Who drove in with a DeLorean, by the way.
Who drove in a DeLorean. The whole concept was he was from the future and from 2020 to talk about trends and that sort of a thing. And then let's see, we had Alex Haley do a keynote speech on mindfulness and tech, which I loved because I heard from people that loved it and people that didn't get it. And it was, I liked that. There was a really broad range. One guy came walking out about 10 minutes into the keynote, came out, walked out to the lobby, was saying, that's too hippie for me.
You know what? It is literally one of the top trends in the Bay Area.
It is.
Mindfulness, because you know do you remember when we talked about this on a podcast a long, long time ago about contemplation and about how important it is for us to step to the side and stop what we're doing, you know, stop focusing on something and go read something else or go for a walk or go see a movie that has nothing to do with technology. Mm-hmm. And pay attention to something else, or in the case of mindfulness, pay attention to this moment.
It was great. And then we wrapped up the day with a keynote from Mark Wilkie of BuzzFeed. But we had four tracks in between there, and some great people stepped up. Sam Kirchmeyer from LiveFront always does a stellar job in the dev side. I don't want to necessarily single him out, but he's he usually presents every year for us, and he's just—I think he does some really great stuff on the development side. Chuck Olson from VidTiger, and now his new venture, which is—I forgot what his new venture is called, guys. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
but it was a virtual reality-based sort of a venture, and he did some really interesting stuff on VR. Aaron Cardell and Bill Jordan did some things on the business side. I think Aaron Cardell and his HomeSpotter growth has been a really very interesting story for Minneapolis, but also he does a really good presentation. But
well,
it was
can
a great
I,
time.
Can I just interject? One of the things that happened at this event that hasn't happened for quite some time is I had really interesting and engaging conversations with sponsors, you know, that had tables.
And that's because they had, there was pretty girls there. I understand.
No, come on now. It's all about the intellectual pursuit and not the eye candy. Come on.
I know.
I know you're just teasing me, but don't. Anyway. So Graham,
yeah,
you were at Bacon Fest, otherwise known as the social media breakfast.
The two aforementioned events.
Yes,
as well.
You were.
Tim was at Mobile March as well. So I sit there and spew on and on because I'm so proud of it. But what did you guys think? Was it okay? Was it good for you?
Yeah, it was good.
The enterprise track was where I spent the day, and they were all great. I enjoyed it, learned great things and met great people, and the keynotes were wonderful. I kind of bailed out on the hippie thing too, but the others and getting to meet Mark and hear the BuzzFeed. I got to go get that slide share if he put it up there, because he went through the slides so quickly. I wanted to learn more about BuzzFeed. So anyway, it was great. And you got a wonderful story in the Tribune from Kristen Painter. In the business section, she was at your party, I assume. I didn't see her.
Yes, she was taking pictures and all sorts of things.
That was nice. So,
but you're kind of a social butterfly, though. You were everywhere.
I know. Oh my God, I went to 6 events this week. This is like a maxed out week, and I skipped a 7th because I couldn't be in 2 places at once. Mobilize Minnesota, unfortunately, picked the night you did the BuzzFeed party. So I missed that one, but the Treehouse event just prior to that on fundraising issues for startups was a good one, on state securities laws and getting into crowdfunding and where that's going with the state legislature and Senate here and that kind of stuff. But then Thursday evening there was an event at Spider Trap on digital health, which included Treehouse and the really great medical director from HCMC, John Hitt, and Casey, I can't pronounce his last name, from Optum Garage, the garage at Optum, the in-house innovation group. That was a great panel. Then, Friday morning, I promised Michael Roventine I would get to social media breakfast. I can't make a lot of them, but by God, I made it, and it was well worth it. It was number 76, 76 consecutive monthly meetings, largest one in the country, and it was Case Histories, and it was packed. I haven't seen that many people at a recent one, in a year or more. 510 Studios in the North Loop, and very well prepared and excellent informative case histories. The first one was Anderson Corp, the Windows company, and their agency, WCG. And they gave a very informative, well-prepared case history of how they manage social around the largest industry event for them, a large, trade show event. And they just rocked it. I mean, they had the analytics down and how they planned the whole thing. And it was excellent. And then there was another one behind that. Tina Kassler from Sophion gave an absolutely incredible scientific kind of case history on visuals in social. And I mean, tracking the traffic.
Like of the social graph?
No. The use of visuals on Twitter elsewhere, tracked how it affected their landing page results and conversions and all that. I mean, she was incredible. And I looked at her background. I don't think I've ever met her, but she's got some background with NASA. I don't know what that's about, but
she really is a rocket scientist.
She is.
I heard that she's the one that's hiding the fact that there are bases on the dark side of the moon.
Oh, geez.
So, no, I have no idea.
Hers was incredible. And then there was a third one. It was on beauty products, but I had to bail by that time, and I figured, okay, I'm not doing a whole lot in beauty products. So, but she was great, too. And
that's probably the one you should have gone to.
Yeah, I was going to say.
If you're like me. Yeah.
But Michael and his team, they do such an incredible job, and the bacon and the bagels and good coffee. I'm glad I got up early to go to that one. But then I had to tear out and get ready for my next event, which was kind of a crazy Friday afternoon event. You don't see too many done Friday afternoon. The Carlson School put together a very well planned and conducted event called Tech Cities. And I wasn't really sure what the name meant when I first heard about this thing, you know, a month or so ago. I thought, what is this about? City government or what? But it's about like the Twin Cities, like tech in the Twin Cities. And so it was kind of a bunch of panels and an opening keynote from the guy who's now the lead scientist at Pandora, lead data scientist, and previously spent a goodly amount of time at both Google and Yahoo. And he was wonderful, very, very funny guy, David Riley. But the panels that followed, they seemed to be a lot of them centered around, you know, what can we do to make Minnesota more recognized as a great tech community? And there were some great panels on analytics and digital marketing, which my colleague Lizzie Wilkins was on with a couple of other really interesting dudes. One guy, Olson, as a chief data scientist, he was on the panel. And then I went to a panel that Go-Kart Labs did on the practice of innovation and invention, which was interesting. I hadn't really gotten a chance to get to know those guys, but I did at this event. And then there was a wonderful reception afterwards, and lots of people we know were there. And, you know, I left at 6 and it was still going. So wow. Anyway, hats off to Carlson. They'll be doing this one again, I guarantee you. The students, they had the, you know, I suppose graduate students involved in the planning of the thing, and oh my gosh, they pulled off the logistics very, very nicely. Mini Analytics, who I volunteer with, had a table there along with probably 10 or 12 other sponsors of various types. So wonderful event.
Cool. Well, so much for the recap of everything that was happening. Wow.
Yeah.
That was a busy week in tech.
No kidding.
It was.
In Minnesota. So
wow.
And a lot of things that we couldn't get to. So keep up the great work. It's a tech community that thrives. So
we should jam through this stuff because we got a lot of stuff to cover today.
Well, just let's hit some of the Minnesota stuff. And a lot, thanks to Tim. He's always keeping us up to date on what's happening in the retail space and also what's happening just really kind of in commerce in general. So the home services piece from Amazon, did you see that the Twin Cities is going to be part of that rollout?
Yep.
Bye-bye, Angie's List.
No kidding. Do you think
it will, but Marketplace, this services marketplace that Amazon is doing, it's not really, I mean, they do some vetting from what I understand, but is it crowdsourced? Is it, I guess I don't know.
No, you have to sign up. You have to get an account and you have to sign up, and then they have to verify that you're real. So, you know, they have to verify your email and your phone number and
as a vendor, as a business.
Okay. Yeah, okay. And there's a couple of other checks. I haven't signed up for it, of course, so I don't know exactly, but that was one of the things that they touted, was that there was this vetting process to make sure pardon me, that you're a real business.
Okay.
You know, and you're not just Joe Schmedlap, who's got an extra pail in his garage, so he started a home cleaning service.
Gotcha.
But they're going to have their Amazon reviews, just like they have on Amazon.com in there. And I think it'll take some time, but within a year or two, I can't imagine, unless Angie's List really changes their business model significantly, that they're going to be that, able to hang in there. You know, that viable.
I don't know. Angie's just got a good, pretty good foothold, and not everything Amazon does works. So,
yeah.
All right.
Unless you're listening to me stream on that Fire Phone that you've got.
I don't have a Fire Phone.
I'm just kidding.
No one has
Nobody has a Fire Phone.
I know. That's
what I was trying to get to. Yeah.
Oh, it was a joke. I'm sorry.
Darn it. I'm sorry, Tim. I just.
Jeez. Yeah, no, I think that it will hurt Angie's List business because Amazon is the 900-pound gorilla.
Yeah. There's no question about that.
Yeah, there's a rumor they're going to be making a big acquisition in London, but it may be just a rumor, some fashion site or something. Anyway, back to Minnesota. What's this?
Yeah, go ahead.
U of M, $3 million.
Yeah, the U of M from NIH, National Institutes of Health, which funds a ton of research at the U already. My brother-in-law is a head of the endocrinology department over there, so we know all about NIH.
And they're going to use it to reduce tuition, right?
Yeah. But that'll never happen. But they're gonna
build another building because we don't have enough of those in the U of M.
Oh my God! Every time I go over there, it's like, what's this building? This is to help commercialize biomedical and med tech technologies out of the U, which is mostly what seems to come out of the Office of Technology Commercialization. So there's more money to help those guys. And I'm actually working with one that's a diagnostic startup that's housed over there. And so maybe some of this money will flow to startups like that are being incubated in or helped by the OTC, as it's called, and the U of M Venture Center, which is part of that. I suspect it'll flow down to those folks. So yeah, good for the U.
And Phil, if you're down at the Dakota County Jail, you can check out this new mini mark that they have set up there.
What?
Did you see this story that Julio wrote?
No, I did not. What was this?
Oh, it's about the vending. But they have it. They had the picture there and everything from the Dakota County Jail, which is kind of funny.
Very nice. Well, they kind of do this sort of thing. I was did that little brief little blurb on Care 11 over the week, and they have that set up in their lobby or their break room. Now they have sort of it's a little mini market sort of thing. So I stole some coffee. But
what?
I straight up stole coffee. So I'm sorry.
Oh, you didn't pay?
I didn't pay. Dude, it was 6 a.m. I needed coffee. No judge of the land's going to convict me.
Interesting technology though.
Yeah, it is.
Julio sure gets around, man. That guy finds more stuff. Doesn't he?
He also highlighted the tweaks that Target is making in their, Apple Watch. Yeah.
Yeah, what's the deal on that? I didn't see that. What are they doing?
Well, they just basically get to get ready for an Apple Watch rollout so you can get the app on your watch.
They aren't one of the initial apps, so it's not going to be available immediately?
No, they're one of the 24. It got approved, yeah.
Oh, I missed that.
Yep. So you'll be able to find stuff in the store, which is a good idea. You'll be able to check things like store hours and things like that, which would be handy. And then you've got, your list that you maintain in the Target app. You can, look at them and check them off as you buy them. So, it's an extension of the app, basically.
Well, that's a big deal for them to be selected as one of the 24.
Yeah, I believe that we have that story coming up later. And I believe that they're the only retailer, I want to say, in that group. I don't know. I think they are, though. But we'll get there. We'll get there when we get to the general Apple block.
Yeah. Well, I love this article about buddies at Jamstick and their smart guitar that blew past. I mean, 5 days they've raised over 200,000 on a $50,000 goal on Kickstarter. They have 39 days.
Was a little modest.
Well, yeah, I guess.
They always are now, though.
Yeah.
823 backers so far. So Graham, you were talking last time about using Kickstarter as a promotional platform. So is that what they're doing here?
Well, I haven't looked at the link isn't working for me. I haven't even looked at this one, but I do know these guys. I mean, from way back, I remember going to their like launch party or something. The PR value of Kickstarter is well known. It takes a lot of planning and work to do it right. But, we've heard that story before of how Spark Devices did it so well. Stephanie Rich, she's got that formula down. you know, when she gave her talk recently at what event was that? That was at IoT Fuse.
Yeah.
Did you catch that, Steve? Or were No, I
couldn't go into it.
That was one of the better sessions.
That's like, what everybody said. Yeah.
If you want to learn how to leverage Kickstarter, go talk to Steph, you know, because, I mean, they did it in a big way. And yeah. And so, you know, people obviously have learned that lesson both here and elsewhere. You know, the video's got to be just right. And, you know, you got to reach out to the media and target the people that are going to help you leverage the attention. And, you know, it's a way to get launched without having to go out and raise money with VCs and angels. And it leverages you into angels and VCs mm-hmm. if you're successful. You know, it certainly did that for Spark Devices in a nice way. So, yeah, these guys, what are they at? $201,000 after a $50,000 goal. So you set the goal low now. That's the game. You know, Spark Devices last one was, wasn't it, $10,000? And they blew by it in like 30 minutes. You know, it was like, you know, and then they raised, what did they raise in that last one? Wasn't it $500K or something? That was not a year or two ago.
Yeah, it was insane. They did really well.
Oh, yeah. And then they proceeded to a $4 million Series A not too long after.
Too shabby, yeah. Yeah.
So, like that.
Oh, yeah. So good for Jamstick. We'll see where it goes for them.
Yep.
So, and I threw in this next story just for the heck of it. We don't cover medical technology, but hearing, you know, what's that you say? Hearing? Oh, yeah. Okay. Medtronics.
Now, wait a minute. Now, Graham, you can't do both sides of the joke. You got
Yeah, one of us has to be there.
You can't say both parts. Unless you're going to change your voice.
I'm trying to get through the, you know, I thought you guys probably don't want a Medtronics.
That's because we don't understand.
They bought some outfit in Boulder, startup town, USA. That transmits sound through the skin. And I had no idea that Medtronic had played in the hearing technology business once before and it didn't work, but now they're trying it again because it's a freaking huge market, 5% of the world's population. And I read in the Tribune story that it's estimated that only 10% of these 300 million people or whatever are being helped by current technologies. So talk about a wide open market. I keep waiting for Apple to get into that market. But anyway, enough of med. We don't do med tech very often.
So move along. We've got to cover what's just so damned important. It's either Periscope or Meerkat. Meerkat or Periscope.
That's right.
I'm already sick of both of them. I haven't used one of them.
Well, it's like anything else, you got to reserve judgment, but I have yet to see anything on there that is has any value whatsoever.
But you remember, Steve, that's exactly what people said about Twitter when it first came out.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
What's doing thing. That's exactly what people said. And it evolved. We can only hope it will evolve into something that is a little bit more worthwhile, a little more constructive without necessarily giving up the whimsy of it.
At this moment, the top live on Periscope is my dog being boring and from my window in France.
That sounds mildly interesting.
Oh, here's a good one.
Is it looking out of the window or in the window?
Oh, you pointed out it. And this one's called Sleep, and it's someone who is taking video of their, looks like their roommate or something, sleeping. Oh, so, boy, I want to pay a lot of attention to that.
Must be an Andy Warhol fan.
Jeez. Anyway.
Warhol did a movie called Sleep where all he did was show people a guy sleeping.
Yeah. Right. Well, when my daughter was a baby, I do have, in case you guys ever want to watch it, I have 45 minutes of her sleeping in a crib. I just set a tripod up and pointed the camera at her. And I still have that. I digitized it so you can see.
Hey, well, you know, your goal here then would be to make the sequel on Meerkat or Periscope.
Yeah, except for 45 minutes of her sleeping.
Oh, her sleeping now, yeah.
How long can these live streams be on Meerkat?
They can go on as long as you want them. I don't believe
you got battery.
Yeah.
Oh, good God.
Yeah.
That's what makes it live. So it's, and it, you don't have to, it, you, you don't have to capture it. It can disappear. So,
well, so there was a building fire and collapse in New York that, was shown, you know, stuff like that. I think that, I mean, it would have been great to see some of this stuff in real time from, you know, the tsunami or something. I mean, to have that stuff,
it might be, streamed. I mean, you think about it from a news standpoint, it may be the next big thing for community journalism. So it's in journalism.
Yeah. Yep.
Why not?
Yep.
Time will tell.
But what would you do? Meerkat or Periscope? Will Meerkat survive? If
no,
no, I think it'll be, I think it'll be Periscope all the way. Plus I think Periscope's a better app.
Is it?
Yep. Okay. My opinion.
Okay, well, that's good.
Plus
good.
Twitter, you know, they had comments and things popping up on the video, and well, Twitter changed the way that happens instantly because everybody was complaining about it. So I think that Twitter can react faster maybe than other apps. I don't know, but
well, suppose, yeah. I mean, if you come in as, if you're the you come in with the, as the owner of the platform it's designed to use in, and you have the luxury of saying, well, what did we learn from the first guys in? Well, yeah, you can pretty much say that you can dominate that space, I think.
Right, right, right. Yeah. Well, there was a Periscope video I watched of for about 3 seconds on Facebook's F8 conference. And
is
I
it,
see somebody
is
stuck
it up. F8 or is it fate? Fate?
I don't know.
Fate. I don't know. Is it fate?
I think it is.
All I know is that yeah, I'm glad people are making money on Facebook, and I'm glad things are happening in there. I have been so disinterested in Facebook as a platform, and I just don't care.
Well, that's why I stuck this in. Is, you know, can they get a foothold that's like what iOS has done or what Android's done?
No, because they're a walled garden.
Yeah,
Facebook is a walled garden. And that's, you know, if you don't join, you can't play. And they want you to play. It's funny because I switched from Chrome to Firefox, and I downloaded, you know, like Adblocker and Ghostery and some other plugins. And I've got Ghostery set up, and it is stunning to me how ubiquitous Facebook is, how they're paying all these different sites to have all their trackers on there.
They're not paying, as if you have the share deal, you get the trackers.
No. But there's separate trackers. Also, there's beacons and stuff that Facebook has well, they probably give it to the sites.
I thought it was part of the share code.
Well, part of this is the share code, but there's these beacons, which are things that pop up on pages that then phone home and say, here's where you are. And this is how Facebook, one of the ways that Facebook tracks you, if you're logged into your browser, they know everywhere you're going, all your sites that you're traveling to. So,
yeah.
Anyway, a lot of people had some excitement about this and some of the things that they're doing at Fate or
F8,
whatever, however you want to talk about. But I don't know. I think the next story was a big deal.
Yeah, $60 a year for all you can eat
unlimited cloud drive storage at Amazon. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's very tempting.
It's very tempting.
I'm on it.
Even if you do the $12 for just photos, that's $12 a year. That's a good deal. It's better than the $25 you throw Flickr.
Yeah. You know? Well, and I pay Dropbox $100 a year for 1 terabyte.
Yep.
Now 1 terabyte's a hell of a lot of storage. Let me tell you.
I do too.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. That looks pretty tempting.
It does.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
It does.
I don't know.
You get a 3 month free trial.
Well, if you're a geek and you're on a Linux platform or a Unix platform like OS X, there is something called rsync, which you can run, and it's a utility that basically keeps copies of a file on two computers systems at the same time. So it's a way just to keep things in sync. And you can also set up cron jobs on your computer so that rsync will run at specified times. So you can have it run and copy your Time Machine backup, for example, to another drive.
That sounds incredibly easy to do, though.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're Tim.
Fire up terminal, kids.
If you're Tim Elliott. Yeah.
Get on the command line. Come on.
Well, you can do it with
We don't need those stinking GUIs to do this.
That's right.
You can do it. Command line.
You can do it with Apple Script, but
that's so much easier. Yes. Yeah.
I know.
Everybody I know. Can do that.
Well, I used to rsync between a drive I have here and a drive at the office.
I bet you Steve could teach you how to do rsync and then build a Liquid app to go with it. So
it was such a pain in the ass.
Yeah. Once you get it set up though, set it and forget it. But setting it up is not for
the heart.
General consumer sort of deal.
Nope. Yeah, but this is intriguing. So if you do it, Tim, let me know, will you? If you do it right away.
Sure.
Okay.
Oh, right away.
Because I'm still kind of goofing around and figuring it out. But so
what, rsync or the Amazon?
The Amazon thing.
Oh, I thought you were still trying to figure out rsync.
No. No, I figured it out once. I don't want to do it again.
Forgotten it already.
Yeah. But you know, it makes me do wonder though about services like CrashPlan from Code 42 locally here. You know, what's going to happen when storage continues to fall to the point where, you know, it's everywhere and it's cheap and you can just drag and drop stuff onto a drive icon and virtual drive. And
well, so far that's the thing that has kept CrashPlan successful. And I think will for a while is just that conversation we had about rsync
and
the ease of doing it.
Right.
There are other services, obviously backup services like Carbonite and that sort of a thing, but that's what will keep Code 42 in play is it's just easier. You install it, boom, it just does it. So
and you can access it from your mobile devices.
It's a lot easier. So yeah, that's the sort of, those types of services will be around for a while just because of ease of use. So,
right.
They put a sexy GUI on top of the, horrendous terminal commands.
Yep. Exactly.
That Steve loves.
And some other secret sauce, I'm sure.
Yep.
I'm sure. Exactly. Yeah. Well, don't get me started. Anyway, Microsoft, I was trying to stay positive, but that's not going well. Anyway,
another big story, Microsoft Office free, as long as you're using it on a screen under 10 inches.
Yeah. That's kind of cool. Well,
so how many enterprises are going to get freaking iPads then instead of laptops and say, hey, we've got free Office. Here you go.
Kind of kills the 10.5 inch tablet, doesn't it?
Well, there's
That's for professional.
Yeah. But what about all the netbooks?
Yeah, I mean, they're free, apparently.
Yeah.
It's free.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think this is a good idea, and it's a kind of a gateway drug kind of deal. Here, take a free sample.
Right.
You know, hey, use it on your phone for free, and then, you know, once you get hooked, you want it on your computer, you got to subscribe to it. So they may be successful here because Microsoft's way behind in mobile, and giving it away on mobile is, you know, where they're weak, and then charging for it on the desktop where they're strong. This has the makings of an interesting strategy.
Well, it is. And also, you know, doing things like offering the Office beta free of charge so you can try it out. I loaded it and I really like it.
Yeah. No, it's fantastic.
I'm thinking I'm going to subscribe.
What was it?
I do subscribe. The latest version of Office for Mac is fantastic.
It really is.
It's available.
I'm deeply impressed
for free right now as a beta download, but all subscribers will get it upgrade.
I'll put a link in the show notes to it, where you can go in for the Mac and you can download it as a preview.
It's just a preview. Yeah. So what's this?
Well, I mean, it's actually a functioning product, but it is not. You know, they don't encourage you to load it for production use. And essentially by being a preview, it's like, yeah, you're going to have to pay for it. You know,
do we know how much have they given pricing?
It's $365. Yeah. So you can get it as low as $70 a year.
Okay.
For one computer and one tablet, that's that deal. If you pay $99, you get up to five devices, I believe, which includes computers.
Right.
So that was sort of like a family plan. So you can like put it on your laptop and your desktop and your daughter's laptop and your wife's laptop, you know. So, you know, it's
thanks for describing the family for us. I appreciate
it. It ends up more expensive than if you pay your whatever it costs. What is it? $200 or $300 one time and then use it for 5 years. But you always have the latest version, and they give you a terabyte of OneDrive for as part of that.
Okay.
Right. And you I have to tell you that if you haven't used Microsoft OneNote,
that's fantastic.
It is really truly one of the I think one of the most powerful organizational apps I've ever used.
Well, what makes it good is on the desktop it's very, very good, but there are mobile apps.
Right.
I'm not sure what iOS is like, but Android is just unbelievably good.
Yeah. So is iOS.
Okay. Yeah, so, yeah. I'm really impressed. Using that more than I use Evernote now.
Well, you know, what's funny is listening to us sing the praises of Microsoft. Cause boy,
yeah, what's up with that?
It's been a long time.
Steve owns the stock. That's
I know. That's right. That's right. He did buy some stock.
Yeah. Right. I have 200 shares. You guys, come on. I don't
know why we're talking about
come on.
It,
that's my disclaimer.
That's my disclaimer. Right, yeah.
200 shares. Oh, 200 shares. Steve, but you hang on to it and you might be able to buy fractional jet ownership, which is only $13,000 a month plus fuel plus.
Yeah, but all now right, you can go to the shareholders meeting and get up and do your security tip of the week.
I you know what? You're absolutely right. So, yeah. All right, I'll stop.
So we've had our Microsoft hors d'oeuvre, and now we're ready for the Apple main course.
Let's pig out.
So the new MacBook single port comes with a major security risk.
Oh, no.
And, you know, I honest to God, my eyes just glazed over on this one. You know, yes, USB is a problem. USB is a port that you plug it in and you have access to stuff and all of that. But you know what, guys? I don't know about you, but I don't let people stick things in where they don't belong.
I know.
Good night, everybody. Yeah. But you
know, sexually innuendo of the day.
That's right. But I don't even take a USB drive from somebody else unless I know who they are.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Then I put wrap it in a baggie and then plug it in. So. But the whole point with this is that, you know, it's USB's a problem.
Because everybody else goes out and cruises bars for strange USB, right?
Yeah, right. Well, you know what, though? In all seriousness, that's one of the number one attack vectors in companies is somebody will leave a very interesting looking USB thumb drive in the parking lot or on a walking inside and leaving it on a desk or on a table or near a window, and somebody will pick it up. And they'll go in and they'll plug it in to see what's on it. And boom, then their computer's infected and in turn and instantly infects the network. And it happens all the time. In fact, most government agencies now basically have disenabled. Is that a word? No. Unenabled? Disabled.
Got it. There you go.
Hey, it's early. I'm still only a few sips into my second cup of coffee. Anyway, disabled. Thank you.
Disenabled the
USB ports. So you can't even use them. So anyway, who knows? All right. And the other Apple stories are the first Apple watch apps, the first 24.
Yep. Yeah.
And
I don't know if there's the first 24, but what are you going to put them on right now?
Yeah. Well, these are the ones that the store employees are going to be demonstrating or going to be trained to demonstrate. And Twitter is in there, but not Facebook. You got to love that. And interesting. Then, but I was shocked that Flipboard wasn't among them. It must not be ready or something.
Because they've really been touting that.
Oh, my God. They were like one of the early favorites when the iPad came out.
Well, just a minute. Do you really think they need any apps to demo?
Well.
The first week of these things, you know they're going to be limited in stock. You know they're going to be short. People aren't even going to open the friggin' box. They'll just buy them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's true. And
so it's a matter of, you know, by the time you get your watch in April, there'll be so many apps.
Have they shown all of the Apple apps yet? Because when you look at that home screen, there's a constellation of apps, and I think they've only shown like four or five of them.
Yeah, they haven't shown all of them. But you know, what people will be doing is going in there on April 10th and ordering it or online. That's what I'll be doing. And, you know, and that we're already hearing the stories, oh, there's going to be a shortage if you don't get your order in right away. So you're right, Phil. People are just going to be ordering sight unseen. Yeah. I will be.
I don't need a demo.
I just know.
You know, it's fun.
I know what I want. I'm going to go on at, 2:01 a.m. on April the 10th and just bam, 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 order online, you know, both the MacBook and the watch.
Well, it's fun to see Things, the to-do list manager, on this list because I sold them a domain name I owned called things.watch.
You sold the domain?
Yeah.
Why the hell are we not doing this in a brand new studio somewhere?
Well, because I did it for the three marketplaces that I looked at. That particular domain had an average price of $126.
So what'd you make on it?
Well, I got four licenses, one for myself and the rest of the family, for the Mac version, which is $50 a piece, and the iPad and the iPhone versions, which are each individually $10 a piece. And so I got all those licenses for Things in exchange. So, and I was going to get.
So you didn't really sell anything.
No, I was going to get. I was going to get Things for all of the attendees of IoT Fuse, our conference. But the guy dropped the ball and didn't get them to me in time, and so we couldn't get them out and whatever. But anyway, so yeah, so they're things.watch now goes to Cultured Code, which is the company that makes it, and they're going to switch it over once the apps ship out, and so that's kind of cool. But anyway.
There you have it.
Yeah.
I'm ready to get mine on my wrist. The question is, will I have it by April 24th?
Yeah. Well, let's just touch on a couple of funny things on this rather than go through this whole list. Two that I put in here this morning. One is Apple's like Hitler claims Chinese CEO.
You've got to look at the
article. It's just hilarious. Yeah. But then another one, pranksters put up fake shot on iPhone 6 ads next to the real Apple billboards. And I wish the quality was better of these photos. But the first one is, you know, there's this beautiful shot on iPhone 6, and then next to it on the wall is a poster of this little fat boy at a swimming pool doing a selfie, you know, with his camera. Oh, my God. You know, I just wish the fake ones were bigger because they're great. But it's true. My favorite one is the guy covered with shaving cream with the shaving cream can on his bathroom counter strategically placed to cover up his... is Janssen. Anyway, good stuff. I know.
That's kind of our little link bait for the week, isn't it? That's kind of our...
Kind of.
There you go.
Kind of. And Phil, I'm glad to see that you liked the article on why America's obsession with STEM education is dangerous.
Clearly one of the most important things you'll read today.
I thought it was a fabulous article in the Washington Post, and it's done by Fareed Zakaria, who he's on CNN, and he's written a bunch of books. And wasn't he the editor and publisher of Newsweek or something at one point?
Not sure.
But essentially what this is it's there's this mad rush towards STEM education and a almost not only ignoring, but almost stiff arming liberal arts education.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you know the Steve Jobs story, which everybody's now, you know, they genuflect and point toward him when they talk about innovation, is that it was his spiritual pursuits. It was also his aesthetic that provided the entire impetus for Apple's ability to do user interface and typography, and, you know, the whole desktop publishing thing came out of his ability to see things like PostScript being invented by a couple of guys that started Adobe, you know, and so forth. So
If there's very much this big drive for technology training and technology understanding and getting more people into STEM, which is the science, tech, and mathematics, and what's the E? Forgotten.
Engineering.
Engineering, that's it. Sorry.
Yeah. Now, wait a minute. You're a parental advisor on Lakeville's education?
Yeah, I'm on Lakeville's, technology advisory board or council. I think it's council. I am the one that always brings this up. And I know that Dr. Snyder, Lisa Snyder, the superintendent, she's always very patient with me. But the fact is that we've got to stop being so obsessed with STEM that we forsake liberal arts and the arts in general and humanities. Does America need another paleontologist? Do we need it? No. Could we learn from them? Yep. We could.
It was anthropologists is what they talked about in the article, but can I just tell you a quick story?
What?
So the quick story is a conversation I had with a woman on a plane.
The question is, can you tell a quick story?
Yes. She was shut up. So she was a cultural anthropologist, and she ended up, we got in this conversation about social media and about human connection and the kinds of ways that different cultures handle and manage interactions with one another and the kinds of things. You know, there's always this whole thing about, well, we're going to do sort of a round robin introduction at the beginning of a conference call, right? Well, it doesn't happen that way in Japan, for example. At that point, whoever is the leader controls 100% of all the interaction. And if they don't acknowledge you, if they don't ask you specifically to weigh in on a topic, you don't say anything at all. And so it's really interesting if you understand the anthropology of various cultures, you know, and what's innate, how humans interact, that's going to help you design user interfaces or create processes in your apps, you know, things like that. So it is it's such an imperative to focus on liberal arts and a holistic education.
And we talk about a lot of this, at its place in, primary and secondary education. Is elementary school or is high school, middle school or high school, is that the place that we, and this question I've always asked, is that the place where we're training people for jobs? Or is that just, are we just training people to learn? I tend to go on the side of, pour everything over a kid and let them, soak in what they love and what they like and then educate them at the same time rather than, okay, here's the skill that you're going to need to earn a living. I don't know if that's the job of public education. I think it's more about learning. It should.
Yeah, no. It should be about learning and about finding out what, you're good at. It shouldn't be, and getting back to the STEM stuff, the thing that bothers me about it is that it almost seems like everyone, when they talk about it, they talk about programmers. Not everyone wants to be a programmer.
No, they don't. Right? and you know what? Not everybody can be a programmer.
Right. Exactly. I mean, it's a specific set of skills, and not everyone, we need more programmers, but, training 6-year-olds on programming is not going to create more programmers.
No.
Right.
It may.
Well, and then the numbers aren't
more bored 6-year-olds.
Yeah.
It's going to create more cynical 6-year-olds.
Well, the numbers aren't in our favor. If you guys remember St. Louis Park native Thomas Friedman, Tom, when he wrote World is Flat, one of the things that he lamented in the book was the fact that, Asia Pacific was graduating 20 some thousand PhDs every year, in various countries. And we, do just a fraction of that in the U.S. Well, just the sheer numbers. I mean, the top 1% of K-12 students in India, that population is larger than all of the K-12 students in the United States. Mm-hmm. Mm. And so, we can't possibly compete on numbers. So we've got to compete in other ways, with higher level value and deeper insight and all kinds of stuff. And it's not going to come from just people being able to code better.
Right. The innovation comes from the ability to think differently.
Yes. Right.
And not having the raw skills. And that's where we're strong. And that's where we should invest to get stronger and to keep that lead.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I were to win, you know, the lottery tomorrow, if I were to give money to the public schools, and again, I am in technology.
What about me?
I love
technology. Can you give me a new MacBook?
Yeah.
Would you guys stop asking?
I'd like another.
Just buy Apple stock.
Yeah. No, you're the one that won the lottery. Come on.
So,
keep going, Phil. Keep going.
Do you wonder if that's what it's like when somebody does win the lottery? The phone starts ringing. People start asking. It's like,
sure.
God, stop. Leave me alone.
That's exactly what happens. Hey, let's wrap this up though, because we got to get cranking here, boys.
I would donate money to, you know, bring back a strings program in the public school system, or, you know, enhance the music or the theater program. I wouldn't bring it back to, wouldn't necessarily, my first priority would not be to donate money to, you know, building a new tech wing. Yeah. So
I think that all those students, they need an Apple Watch so we can keep an eye on them.
That's it.
You track them the entire time.
The one thing that has come out of this discussion though is a new term. And it's called STEAM rather than STEM, which includes arts in that.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Hopefully, school systems will take that to heart. And those that are big STEM advocates will take that to heart,
right.
That it's not an either or. It is not an either or. It's an and. We need emphasis in the humanities and the sciences.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. I think we need to hear some horses by now.
Oh, really?
No, I think so.
STEAM security tip of the week.
Yes, it's that time again.
They're back.
Means the ponies are back.
The ponies. Well, this is not necessarily that big of a security tip, but it's more of a heads up.
Okay.
That the U.S. Congress is working on enhancing, solidifying, and accelerating the legalization of mass surveillance. So all the things that are in jeopardy right now for the NSA to be doing domestically and so on are being formalized. So the tip is to learn about them and then make your voice known to your elected representatives, whether you're thumbs up or thumbs down on it. So the U.S. House let out this Protecting Cyber Networks Act, and the U.S. Senate Intelligence Committee had already passed CISA, the Cybersecurity Information Sharing Act. And the kicker is that both of these pieces of legislation would create new loopholes for private companies to share users' data with intelligence agencies, including the NSA and the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. And so it would also give companies leeway to ignore laws like the two that protect us now, the Privacy Act of 1974 and the Electronic Communication Privacy Act of 86. And you've maybe heard rumors about the fact that the NSA metadata stuff has been turned over surreptitiously to district attorneys and so on to bring up charges for people. Because they've found stuff out, so they give it to the DEA, or they give it to local law enforcement, and nobody knows where that data came from, because it came from these surreptitious intelligence vacuum surveillance. And so at any rate, I'm going to put a couple of links in the show notes to a Wired magazine article and an InfoWorld article, and so just read them, and then get a hold of your Congress person and give them a heads up. So that's my tip.
Thank you very much. As always, wonderful. Let's talk quickly about the cool thing of the week.
Yep.
We're going a little bit long today.
Yep.
So,
Phil, go.
The MDrawBot 4-in-1 Arduino drawing robot. My God, why is that so hard to say?
You should let a robot say that next time.
Yeah, I guess so. You got to check this out. This is on Kickstarter. It's a little Arduino-based kit that allows you to build robots that draw.
Well, cool. And it shows it writing text.
and writing text and block text and things like that. And
yeah.
You have a, you know, a little device that either clamps to your table or sticks to the wall. And it's kind of cool.
Well, I wonder if we can also get it to emulate signatures. So then we could steal your signature, Phil, and have you sign a bunch of contracts on behalf of BuzzFeed. And
yeah, the people at BuzzFeed would go, who?
Yeah, they're in New York, and they said,
it's like,
oh, they bought 5,000 donuts at Krispy Kreme. What's going on?
So, yeah, check that
That's
out.
Cool. It's that is cool.
4-in-1 Arduino drawing robot.
All right.
Drawing. There you go.
Yeah. And Tim, what's your cool thing, pal?
Well, this is my second cocktail-related ice tray, but this one is very cool. It is from Japan, of course, and it is a Star Wars Death Star ice cube. You can make your own ice cubes that look like the Death Star from the original movie.
That's cool.
And it's only $4.85. So
how big are they? I can't tell.
It's a must-buy.
Well, hover over the last photo on the Amazon thing.
Yeah, with the whiskey. And look at how big that is. That is loud and proud.
And you only need one.
And it's a completed Death Star. So
it is. It's a complete Death Star just before Luke blows it up in the episode 4.
Huh. Okay. Well, also,
sorry for all you that haven't seen.
Say, by the way,
to spoil Star Wars?
Yeah.
Does whiskey?
It was a lucky shot.
Does whiskey freeze?
No, it does not. It does not.
Okay. All right. Well, too bad, because everybody says you should take whatever liquid you're going to put the ice cubes in, and you actually pour that and freeze that, so that when it melts. Okay. All right.
This is just to keep it cool and dilute it ever so slightly.
Yeah.
But when you're doing it, you do it with style.
There you go.
You get a two-pack so mold for $8.40.
Yeah. Now all you need is a stir stick that comes out. You know.
Ooh, that would be a good one to have.
Ooh, a lightsaber.
Very
nice.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry. I'm just now locked on to just going from Star Wars ice cube tray to Star Wars ice cube tray. Now there's all sorts of them out there.
Oh, geez. Mr. Thickens.
Well, mine's a little different this week. You know, I see cool products, although I've been a little busy this week with events. But my biggest cool thing of the week is my new converted WordPress blog with a huge hat tip to our own Steve Borsch, who finally helped me make it happen. We've talked about this on the blog.
Holy crap, it finally
happened. It would have never been possible without Steve, though. I'm telling you, this was a task that I did not look forward to at all. You know, I got on Typepad in 05 when it was the thing. It was easy. But, man, you get locked in, and, you know, it's hard to change. But there are tools out there, and thank God Steve has been through many of these conversions before. It's not easy. Get help if you're looking to do it. But thanks a lot, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, you bet.
Really, it looks great, and you know, minimum amount of issues. And really, the whole thing was pulled off probably inside of 4 or 5 days. I mean, we weren't working on it full time, but it looks good. Now I got to get back to blogging. I mean, unfortunately, the whole social media, you know, Twitter thing slowed me down on long form blogging big time, you know, starting in about 08 or 09. But hopefully I can actually start posting again. It's been a month or two, but it's out there. GrahamThickensOnTech.com.
There you go.
It's fully responsive. Yikes.
Yeah.
You have caught way up, Graham.
Yeah. Oh,
you've raised the game.
Yeah.
Now we just got to get you off CompuServe email. And I'm kidding.
Hey, I did ditch my AOL account several years ago, and I had to beg them, you know, can't we keep you? How can we keep you? I had GRT at AOL.com. I had a 3-letter, and it went. It was 10, 12 years ago.
Yep.
But it was time.
Yes, time. These things, you know, they have their time. You got to move on, you know?
Wow.
So, Steve, what's your cool?
Well, mine is the new book, Becoming Steve Jobs. And a lot of people have talked about it and all that. I did not know that it was actually shipping until I listened to MacBreak Weekly when I was driving downtown the other day. And So I thought, oh, geez. So I get, when I got to my destination, I did not do it in the car. When I got to my destination, I actually went on to iBooks and downloaded it and started flipping through it. And I'm only into the first chapter right now, but just the preface in the first chapter is exactly the kind of book that I wanted from Walter Isaacson.
Oh, good.
And it's yep. really, it's really, I got to tell you, and people are singing its praises, but it already feels more balanced.
Yeah, I started it earlier in the week when it came out as well. And, you know, Isaacson just didn't understand tech, so he didn't ask the right questions.
Yeah.
He had all the access, but he just didn't know what to ask. And the writers here, you know, covered jobs for 25 years, knew him personally. Interviewed him many times, so they really have the context, and they're getting the great stories, and they get people that are close to him, like Tim Cook and Lorraine Jobs, and you know all of the top people at Apple sat down for interviews.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I can't wait until we get to the later bits of the book where they really talk about what went on behind the scenes with the iPhone and the iPad and all that stuff. So
well, here's the one of the excerpts from the Amazon. Description. Schindler and Tetzeli make clear that Jobs' astounding success at Apple was far more complicated than simply picking the right products. He became more patient. He learned to trust his inner circle and discovered the importance of growing the company incrementally rather than only shooting for dazzling, game-changing products. So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. So check that out. Okay. Sweet. What's coming up this week?
Or
next week or now. On the upcoming events. It looks like we've got the same pretty much.
I added a couple things.
The
Word Camp, the 25th, yep. Code Camp, which is also on the 25th.
Wow.
And the Overnight Website Challenge, which is May 2nd and 3rd. If you want to sign up for it, it's either side. I think it runs out next week sometime, like April 1st, I want to say.
Are you building a team this year, Tim?
I'm not, but I might slip on a team if I see one that you know that looks good.
Good, that would be great.
Yeah.
We you never know, but I don't know.
I saw Mark Hurlburt from the Nerdery, who runs their new academy now. Saw him at the reception last night at the Carlson, and mentioned that we've got our Minovate guys on the website challenge, and Tim in particular. So, yeah, but there's nothing coming up next week, is there? I mean,
it's spring break. We're going.
There you go. We can use a little break from events, I guess.
Well, you
to catch
especially.
Our breath.
Yeah.
But yeah, the one on April 8th, MobCon Digital Health, is going to be a good one. And of course, Minibar on the 11th. Wow. That'll be blockbuster as usual. So, looking forward to that.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right.
Very cool. Well, it's been a great week. We'll look forward to next week. We'll talk about what happens, though it may be a little quieter as far as event recaps, but we know there'll be fun things to talk about, and we'll cover them on
the Minovate Gang podcast. All right. Take care.